This is going to be an exciting time. I also have some stories to tell you of people who have experienced the beings after having a sculpture. Now, mind you, I am not allowed to sell the sculptures. If there's something you really want to buy, you may buy it. But what I am not here to sell these. And I'll tell you why I don't sell these sculptures. I don't talk anybody into buying a sculpture. When I make the sculptures, first of all, they know who's going to buy them. They need to get into the right hands. They identify with the right person. If you don't feel a connection, I say do not buy it. It's not going to serve you at all, okay? The other thing I tell people is you never want to buy a sculpture if you're afraid to have contact, okay? If you're afraid to have contact, don't ever buy a sculpture. Because when I was in Alamo, Nevada, doing a conference, a gentleman who had had contact and never was allowed to remember who he had had contact with decided he wanted to buy a mantis being. So he bought a mantis being, and lo and behold, a month later, he contacted me and said, I have been downloaded with visions of what's going to happen in the future. I've been given spiritual teachings to help me in my ascension. But one night, I woke up, and there were three beings in my room. And he said, I didn't expect it. And so I told him, get out of here. I don't want you in here. And I said, oh, that's too bad. I'm really sorry to hear that. Next time they appear, this is all you have to do. Tell them, you can talk to me telepathically, but until I'm ready to see you and experience you, please just do it telepathically, okay? Let me tell you a little bit about me. Cynthia Crawford, I was born a twin. My mother, when I was born without an amniotic sac. My twin sister was born with an amniotic sac, but we had totally different blood types and tissue types. When we were 5 years old, my twin sister never learned to walk like a normal person. She kept, she walked on her tiptoes and fell a lot. And the doctors diagnosed her with muscular dystrophy. My father, by the way, was in the Army and worked on top secret missions no one was allowed to know about. Okay? I don't know if that gives you a clue where I'm going with this. Okay? This is what happened. The doctors took samples from me. Because they thought if they transplanted my muscle tissue and my twin's legs, she might walk again. They couldn't do the transplant. We were not matches, even though we were twins. It was as if we were never related. I did not find out until I was in my early 30s when my father came to me. And my mother and father were divorced when I was quite young. And my mother was a very, very devout Christian, and my father was an agnostic. And my father came to me and he said, have you ever wondered why you've always had contact with the beings? Have you ever wondered why you've had babies taken from you by the beings? Okay? Have you ever wondered why you're the only one in the family that's had communication? And I thought, where in the world did he get this information? I never told him about this. But he knew about it. I also, as a child, remembered being taken to underground facilities, government facilities, when I was a toddler. And I would cry because I didn't want to be there. And they would take me into underground facilities, and they would literally test me to see what abilities I had. And these were military doctors in underground facilities, many, many, many floors below the surface, secret facilities. But I was always told those were dreams. So I thought, oh, what horrible dreams. But my mother never knew where she was going to find me when I was a child. If I would be found outside, next to the door, inside sleeping on the floor, or in my bed. And as a teenager, I would sometimes wake up and I was outside. Didn't know how I got there. I also had times where I thought I was in bed, and the next thing I know, I am floating through the air up into a ship. I used to hate those dreams. Well, when my father, now when I'm in my 30s, and my father's telling me this, I finally said, "Why, Dad? Why have I had contact? Tell me." And he said, "You are a hybrid." And I laughed. And I said, no, I can't be a hybrid. Because that meant there was a reason why I never felt like I belonged here. What I also found out at the age of 22, when I had my son and had complications with him, the doctors could not give me blood transfusions. For I had an antigen in my blood that only two other people in the whole world had. Now let me tell you, if that doesn't make you feel a little bit weird, I don't know what does. Yeah. Do I? No, I don't know them. But I will tell you this. When I had my son at the age of 22, I remember waking up before, of course, and I woke up after being on a ship. And the ship had the ceiling, walls, floors all seemed to be a luminous glow to them. And I was being told I was going to have a son. He would do great things in the future to help save the planet Earth. And I thought, whoa, I'm going to have a son. And he's going to be special. I was so excited. And I woke up in bed and I'm telling my husband, he goes, you're not pregnant. No way. And I made a bet. And the bet was I would get a sewing machine. And by God, that sewing machine came in handy. I made my maternity clothes. Anyway, I've had numerous healings my whole life. When I was 18 years old, because I always had a hard time fitting in, I used to be a very depressed child and kept feeling this was not my home. And so I did a very stupid thing, and I'm sure you've heard of people like me. I decided to take an overdose of aspirins and end my life. I was tired of being on this planet, and it was really stupid, but I wanted relief. I wanted relief from the fear of being different, from the dreams of being in ships. I wanted help, and the way to get help is to die. Right? I took an overdose of aspirins, and if anybody knows what happens when you drink or take a bottle of aspirins, it works like acid in your body, and it completely dissolved my vascular system. I was bleeding out of every opening in my body. My eyes, I literally went blind. My eyes were bleeding, and I literally got down on my hands and knees, crawled to the bed, lay down to die. I woke up the next morning healed, 100% healed. At the age of 29, I had real complications with my lungs. My lungs, I was constantly getting pneumonia and never knew if I was going to go into a coma. Didn't know why my lungs were so weak. And my twin sister had died just 2 months before. When I came down with lower lung pneumonia and both my lungs collapsed while I was out of town. And I said my goodbyes telepathically to God and everybody else. I woke up the next morning completely healed. Came back to Omaha, Nebraska, where I was living. The doctor took x-rays of my lungs, called me into his office and cried. Sat there and literally cried in front of me. And he said, "You must have something important to do in the future because these are not your lungs. These are newborn baby lungs." I also was hit by a car in 1993 while I was walking across the street, thrown 35 feet up in the air, 75 feet out into another street. all these bones in here were broken, had gone in and out my bladder. My colon was, and intestines were all twisted and knotted up. A part of my face was torn off me. My ears were torn off me. I wear a plate in my shoulder. I was told that it would take 6 to 8 months for me to walk again. But because my muscle tissue is Anunnaki, I walked in 2 months. But because my bones are Zeta bones from my DNA, my bones did not heal like humans. My bones took 3 times longer than a human. I have both Zeta DNA, Anunnaki DNA, and human DNA. Anunnaki is the greatest part of my DNA, which attributes for my muscular build. When I did one time in my life start working out with weights, I developed the body of a weightlifter that would take 1 to 2 years to develop that body. I did it in 2 weeks. Unbelievable. And one day I looked in the mirror and go, I'm a man. I was so muscular. So I quit working out. But anyway, it was not until I was, after I finally, when I had that accident, by the way, it took me 5 years to say complete sentences and to remember 1 minute to the next. I had lost 1/3 of my brain. And I had to learn all over again. It's quite an experience, very humbling experience. In 1997, I decided to give up my fear of having contact. And I started going to an experiencer group. And the psychologist that ran this experiencer group had used to work with John Mack. Barbara Lamb. Anyone here know Barbara Lamb? Okay. Wonderful woman. Fabulous person. I love her so dearly. I started working with this group of experiencers, and I gave up my fear. And I started having contact at least 1 to 2 times a week. And I began going to other planets. I began going through teachings, spiritual teachings, which I didn't expect. Spiritual teachings of love. One of the first things they told me was, in order to be in the new world, which will be coming soon, humans must give up greed, judgment, and prejudice. By looking beyond the physical container to see the creator source within each and every being, not within each and every human, each and every being. Okay? Now, when I gave up my fear, I said, okay, by golly, I want them to come to me now. I want them to tell me, why was I the victim? Why did they want me? Why were they always taking me away? Why did they take my babies from time to time? I had 3 conscious memories of having babies taken from me and found out I have 23 children on other planets. Part of it's my DNA. And doctors couldn't explain why, when I, at the age of 24, had to have a hysterectomy, why my tubes, and when I was 40 years old and they removed my tubes and ovaries, why my tubes were like plump hot dogs. I mean, ready for a weenie roast. And the truth was, they told me that panel of doctors had examined the tissue and it was perfectly healthy. But I had not one, not two, not 3 tubal pregnancies, but at least 4 or more. And I only remember one because I remember waking up and having a lot of complications with that tubal pregnancy that they took. And then I found out they used my eggs, and what it had to do with was my DNA. That's why they wanted me. So anyway, getting back to when I gave up fear of having contact with them and said, I'm ready for conscious. After 3 weeks of begging, they finally appeared to me. And the first one that appeared to me was one of the most incredible loving beings I had ever, ever encountered. And the love was beyond words. There is no human description for the love they give you. Okay? what happened was, on the day that he materialized, I'm laying in bed, begging, of course, and here comes, almost like Star Trek, here comes a body materializing in front of me. Brown skin, as wrinkled as elephant skin, very glove leather soft. I don't know what kind of lotion he used, but he was soft. He had a large head, which was large here, dented in the back here, and then went out a little bit again, and then to a long, thin neck, long arms, arms longer than humans, very muscular, lean body, gold eyes with slits, and he humbly looked down for fear he would frighten me. And all I felt was the most incredible love coming from him. It was as if God himself had entered my room, and I had no idea I could feel this kind of love. I had never felt it from anyone. And I said to him, "May I hold your hand?" And he rolled out three long fingers with suction cups on the end. Is there anyone in this room who has woken up with these bruises, three bruises on their thighs, legs, or somewhere? You have? And they look almost like a suction cup type bruise? On your shoulder? Okay. Do you know why we wake up with these bruises? It is not because we've been hurt. It is because consciously it is to alert us or let us know we have had contact. Whatever happened, it is for us to remember it. Okay? So, this guy shows me his suction cups on the ends of his fingers, and I'm holding his hand like, oh, was that cool. Almost like first love. It was wonderful. And I would do it again and again and again. But after a while, he said, now it's time for you to learn from someone else. So I started going from being to being to being, and eventually began having contact with the masters. And the masters are not the people that tell you what to do and to worship them. The masters are here to tell us who we are, how important we are. We are all equal. There is no greater than and no lesser than another. Sananda, Ashtar, Mary, all of them are beings. Now, let's fast forward a little bit. And in 2003, one day while taking a pot throwing class, trying to learn how to use clay, they were overbooked and they didn't have enough wheels. And so I sat there most of the time just kind of waiting my turn. And I started working with the clay. And the next thing I knew, I had sculptured an ET baby hybrid. Let me tell you, the people in this class were not open-minded like you guys. And they thought I was freaky, creepy. And some of the people even told the teacher, do you mind if you tell her not to make these in this room? So I would make them at home. And I began having conscious contact with these beings where they would telepathically, I would be sculpturing and they would tell me how to make the eyes, the nose, the head. And if, by the way, one time I made the nose too big and they said, he does not have a Bob Hope nose. Oh! Or they would say, the eyes do not bulge that much. Okay. Or, the eyes are more slanted. What I didn't realize right off the bat, they did tell me telepathically, when you make these beings, they carry our frequency. I was only allowed to make beings that work with the light. One time I decided I wanted to make a reptilian. But not the good reptilians. You know, there are good and there are bad. And there's nothing wrong with the bad, truly. For the bad are just as important as the good ones, because how do we know what love is if we haven't experienced what hate is? Or what pain is if we haven't experienced the difference between not being in pain and having pain? Believe me, when you have a lot of broken bones, you know what pain is. So we learn through experiencing the differences. Now, one time, they would never allow me to make negative ones, and one day, I saw this picture of a reptilian that people said, raped women, bad reptilian, and I thought, well, you know, he's awfully pretty. I think I'll make him anyway. I started making him, and all of a sudden, the being said to me, no, we don't want you to do that one. And I said, but I want to. We do not want you to. Now, they speak in a collective, by the way. And I said, I don't care what we want. I want to find out if I'm an artist, because I don't make these by myself. You work through me to make these sculptures. I want to find out if I even have any artistic talent. So they shut their mouth. And I made a reptilian, and he was gorgeous, and he was perfect. I was so proud, and I pushed him off into the middle of this big, big 6-foot-long island, grabbed some more clay, and started making another sculpture. And the next thing I know, the sculpture goes flying off of the counter, smashed face down, unrecognizable. And the message was, that which you make, you bring that frequency into the world. Okay, I got it. Only benevolent beings. Now, what I want you to do, because when they told me their frequency is in these beings, these sculptures, they told me, in fact, they even called me a straw. I am a straw for which the fluid flows. So when I do hands-on, they come through me, and whatever sculpture I am making, they put their frequency in them. And the longer I work on them, the more empowered they are. And for an example, one time, actually this last February, when I was in Laughlin. Anybody go to Laughlin? Laughlin? Okay, good. There's been a few of you guys went to Laughlin, to the International UFO Congress. And I got home at midnight, and I was so tired. And I rode with another person, or had another person ride with me. And we were getting things out, and I wasn't paying attention. And one of the sculptures, a Zeta, the kind of a green-looking Zeta, fell out of my car and broke. And so I thought, oh, darn, I have to fix it. Well, it took me an hour and a half to fix it, and I had to hold the head onto the neck, and then I had to rebuild the neck and blah, blah, blah. Ed Paranormal Matrix came out to my house to film me making sculptures and to show pictures of all my sculptures. And by the way, this is going to be on TV. I haven't yet got a date for the release, but they will be showing this on TV. And as they're filming all the sculptures, all of a sudden they came to the one that had broken, that I had repaired. And because I put in extra time repairing it, it had so much frequency, their camera, which had a stabilizer in it, went nuts. And was vibrant. And let me tell you, everyone there, but one man who is an agnostic, everyone there was 8 crew people filming this, were believers. They had never seen anything like this ever. I've had people take dowsing rods and literally set a sculpture down and take a dowsing rod and go right up to the sculpture. And when they get within, 10 to 15 feet, sometimes if it's a sculpture that was broke that I had to repair, they get 20 feet away and those rods open wide up. That tells you what kind of frequency they have. I thought they were joking when somebody told me that they used dowsing rods on it, so I started doing it. And I'll be darned if I didn't forget my dowsing rods. But they open up, wide up. I was just absolutely blown away. I'm going, whoa, that's okay. That's cool. Now, those who have sculptures, what I want you to do is, first of all, I want you to all to relax, take deep breaths. Big, big, deep breaths. And just totally relax and allow yourself to be one. And then I want you to, as you're holding the sculptures, or if you have a necklace, hold the necklace and imagine that piece as if it's an extension of your arms and hold it. Allow it to become part of you and allow yourself to feel the energy. Feel the energy. You may feel tingling. You may feel pulsing. It may even speak to you. Don't be surprised if it's telepathically speaking to you. Feel the energy of them. And while you're doing that, I'm going to tell you a little story. Last May, a year ago, doing a conference in Alamo, Nevada. The day before I left to do the conference, I was told to sit down at the computer and to write. And all of a sudden, this is what came out. The source was, just was, all that is. The source knew all, was all. And the source decided that it wanted to know what it was like not to be all, not to know all. So the source made selves. And the source made worlds for selves to live on. And each self would have a container that it would be allowed to live on these planets. Source selves are the light, the soul light connected to the source. I don't have time to do a regression tonight, but I will tell you this, that I did a regression with these people. I took them down and I took them to another planet. And I started introducing one by one each of the beings to them. And then I took them from the planet, and the planet disappeared. And all of the beings throughout the universe that I had introduced them to, they all were holding hands. And then all of a sudden, I had their bodies, their containers, disappear. And all that was left was their source light. The soul within. Now imagine a circle of light. Now imagine off in the distance in outer space comes a big, big bright light, and it's moving quickly through the universe, and it comes down in the center of all these little light beings. The big light is the source, the creator, the source itself, all that is. And all the little lights that represent the souls of the beings throughout the universe are all source selves. And the light expels umbilical cords that goes out to each and every light. So it looks almost like a wheel with the spokes in the middle. We are all connected to those of the universe, and the way that you have contact with them is simply by releasing the container, going within, connecting with the source, the creator of all, and opening up your heart to communicate with your brothers and sisters throughout the universe. We are all here for our lessons. We can be teachers to one another, and we can be soul brothers and sisters and share our lessons. But in every lifetime, we have a certain set of lessons that allows us to grow spiritually. And that's what life is about. We are on this planet Earth at this time, one of the most precious times ever, in which we actually get to experience the release of an old world and the bringing in of a new world. And we get to be those people who start the new world over. That what we want to see in the new world is that which we need to be now when we begin living what we want to see in the world. We change the world. Now I want you to feel the energy with this, inside these sculptures. And let the feeling of that energy move into your heart chakra. Connect with it. They are asking you to feel their love. Allow that love to penetrate your heart and exchange the love with them. Give the love back. Give them love. When you go home at night, or even tonight here, if you're staying at the hotel, close your eyes and meditate and do this. Connect with the source. Connect with the beings and say, I am no longer afraid. My heart is open. I am ready for contact. The only thing you need to know that's going to help you through anything and everything in this world that we will face or are about to face is unconditional love and living in the light. If you think there's a chance that somebody may be of a negative energy, you can dissipate any negativity simply by enveloping them in the light and sending them unconditional love. I have been attacked many times by the Illuminati and by the government, the secret government, who, because I know who I am and have spoken up about how we are all connected, they have tried to take me out. And there literally have been times the Illuminati has actually tried to take me out by causing me to, one time I woke up after being drugged by them and they had injected me with a serum that caused an aneurysm in my brain. But right before my brain was to pop, all of a sudden I cried out for my guides, for my beings, and said, if you want me to finish my mission, then heal me. And instantly I was out cold, and an hour later I woke up, I was completely healed. Anyone that does anything negative to you, if you return negativity with negativity, anger, hatred, resentment, any of these things, this is what's going to happen. You're going to empower them. Why not keep your power? We can empower ourselves with unconditional love and enveloping the light around all those people that we want to either teach to empower themselves or that we want to diffuse them of their negativity. I had a friend that told me when she stayed overnight at my house one time, she woke up in the middle of the night and there was a reptilian carrying me. I was out cold, carrying me away, and she walked up to him, and he was a big one. And she said to him, put her down now. And the being telepathically said, what are you going to do about it? And she said, I'm going to love you. And immediately he put me down. Darkness cannot handle the light. Let's be in the light and let's change this world. Let's take our power back. You want to take your power back? Everybody want to take your power back? Let's do it now. Let's do it now. How many of you would like to have contact? All right. That's wonderful. I'm so happy. Call them to you. Open your hearts to them. Give them love. They may not do it the same moment you do that. It took me 3 weeks of begging. But then I have contact all the time. Sometimes we have to beg a little. And sometimes we just have to be patient. But never stop giving them love. For when they feel your love, they say, okay, they're ready. Okay? Oh, boy. Okay, it looks like we're going to, I'm not sure if I'm seeing this correct. What time do you guys have? A little, okay, I guess we got a little bit more time. I want to ask, you did? What colors did you see?
There was a deep purple alternating with almost like a tan. And then it went white.
This is from, how did you see the colors?
Just with my eyes closed.
Okay, while you were holding the sculpture.
Oh, yeah, I've been holding it for.
Did you feel anything else? Any vibration or anything?
I didn't. And then it went completely black, and one of my challenges, I can never make a black screen, but this was a completely black screen, you know, like your blouse or my shirt.
Okay.
And then white came back again.
Wonderful.
So.
Did you feel?
No.
Anybody?
Okay.
Let's see, lavender was your first? Okay. Lavender represents your spiritual self. You're talking about the third chakra? Yes, yes, it is. But it also represents wisdom. You're being downloaded with some wisdom. And whatever the other colors? White is the highest color of ascension. Anybody have any experiences while holding the sculptures? Okay, what was your experience?
I was meditating. I felt like pulsating in my head, vibration, and just a vibration in my head right here. It was like pulsating. Mm-hmm.
Okay, who else felt it? In light? All right. Anybody else? Violet and bluish. Vibration. Excellent. Oh, good. I get a lot of people tell me that they start feeling vibration. I sent some sculptures to a woman, or to two different women who had experienced the Nephilim child, and both of them, when they picked the packages out of their post or their box, it vibrated like that. Yes, and you? Pulsation, that's common. Oh, wow, communication there. She felt like she wanted to cry. Wow, that's beautiful. That particular one is the Anabua. The Anabua have cried for the planet Earth because of the abuse that humanity has created. So the Anabua are all about nature. They've agreed at this time, in the end of the old world, to come here to actually give us, they're going to check out as we are moving into stargates and so forth. They are here as well. To watch the way to let us know if there's any danger ahead and so forth. Anybody else have? Yes.
I felt like my left hip, which had been broken and shorter and everything, feels like it's starting to come back to life and to aches.
Oh, good. She had a broken hip at one time that you'd had surgery on. Is that right? And she felt a healing ache. Now, I will say this. A few people have actually experienced healing. There is a woman who recently was given a sculpture. It was the Andromedan child. And what happened with the Andromedan child, she now uses it. She's a Reiki master. And she began, actually, it opens up people's chakras and has dispersed all negative energy, anything attaching to people. I receive emails from a lot of people who have experiences. It looks like we're going to have to end this. I really apologize. I was really hoping we could, you know, have a much longer time. Maybe I can find a time tomorrow if Carrie and Bill, you know, are able to fit me in where we can sit down and talk some more, because it's a, yeah, maybe during lunch break. I'm not sure if they're going to do that other thing at lunchtime, but I'll talk to them. The thing we need to be cognizant of, pardon? Yeah, the thing we need to be cognizant of, we need to just relax, to stop judging, and start loving. We need to be cognizant that we're all connected to the universe. We take our turn from planet to planet, learning the lessons we've chosen. And what it all boils down to is when we leave our physical container, we get to go back to the spiritual plane and communicate with one another the lessons we've learned. When I gave up my fear and learned to love these beings, oh my gosh, I can't get enough love. It's like, sometimes it's hard being in my body. It's wonderful. Oh, no, I'm allowed to sell them. I'm not allowed to talk people into buying them. You may buy them if you are really connected to one and you feel drawn to it. You may buy it. But what I'm saying is I cannot talk anyone into ever buying one, for they know who their owner is. And you will know. I've had people walk past my booth when I've been at shows, and they've turned around and they go, "I'm sorry, what?" And I'll look at them and go, "I didn't say anything." And they go, "Your sculpture's talking to me." I've had people actually see the sculpture, and you have to be very open-minded, not afraid. They've actually seen, for example, Mary. I mean, I call her Mary. She's the Blue Lady, the plaque of the Blue Lady. She carries the Mary energy and Isis energy. I've had people tell me that the plaque actually became an entire tall being and actually came to her the night she got it. And then it came back a second time that night and brought two other beings from other planets and said, "Well, if you're open enough for me, here's some others that would like to meet you." So that is a tall white. Charles Hall wrote books on the Millennium series about his experience while in the Air Force meeting the tall whites. They literally have come to this planet numerous times. They have for hundreds and hundreds of years. Actually, many of them still live here. Any other, yes? I overcame my fear when I got doggone tired of being a victim. When I said, "I am so tired of them coming and getting me when I don't want them to, and when I don't know what they're doing. They won't let me remember." And finally I said, "I'm going to find out, and the only way I can find out is to give up my fear and say, okay, guys, why me?" And they came to me, finally, after 3 weeks of begging. And I tell you what, after I started experiencing them, I don't care. They come to me a lot. Does anybody have the Ant People plaque? Anybody took the Ant People plaque? Ah, yes. Let me tell you the story about the Ant People. I did not believe that the old world was going to end and there was going to be a new world, because I kept thinking, you know, I heard about what happens in 2000. And so forth. So in 2006, one night, I woke up in the middle of the night, potty break time, and got up to go to the bathroom, and I noticed that there's an ant person about 5 feet tall standing beside my bed. And as I looked around, there was another one by the fireplace and another one by the stereo. And I'm going, whoa, what a dream. This isn't real. I got up to go to the bathroom, and I put cold water in my face, slapped myself a few times, almost slapped myself silly, and I came out and I said, okay, if they're real, they're going to be there when I come back. I came back, and by God, they were real. And I didn't know who in the world they were, so I sculptured them. Anybody know of Chris O'Brien? Yes, Chris O'Brien, the Mysterious Valley, and so forth. And he'd spent, I think it was 6 years living with the Hopi. Interestingly enough about Chris O'Brien, I will tell you, he thought I was a phony when he saw all the sculptures I did. He goes, you can't tell me you've had experience with these beings. I won't believe you. And when I pulled out the ant people sculpture, I actually made an entire sculpture. He goes, oh, my God, the ant people. And I said, the what? He goes, the ant people. And I said, who are they? He goes, well, you look it up. And he gives me this website to go to, and I read the Hopi talking about the ant people. So when I came back from that seminar, I meditated one night, and I said, okay, I'm very open-minded. I would like to go down into the inner world, inner earth, to their den, and see what their den looks like. And oh my God, what a joy. They literally have claws kind of like crab claws for on their feet and hands, and they have antennas. Now, anybody know why the antennas? Why they have antennas? No, they have these antennas. Do you remember My Favorite Martian? Are you old enough for that? Well, what I didn't realize was the antennas were because they pick up frequency. They know us not by our face nor by our name, but by our frequency. My beings told me we are our soul. When we were created, our soul has a frequency that is our identity we carry no matter how many lifetimes, no matter what planet we live on. We always carry that frequency. They can find us whenever they need us. That's, they zoom in on us. And what happens is the frequency intensifies as we become more and more spiritual. Okay? It's wonderful. The ant people, their only purpose is to bring us to inner earth when those who are meant to start the new world over again after Mother Earth has shaken herself free of the fleas. I actually had a communication once with Mother Earth, and I thought, whoa, now this is really pushing the button there. I had no idea Mother Earth was a sentient being. And all of a sudden, she wakes me up in the middle of the night, and she says, I have to cleanse myself, for humanity has been very angry, very negative, very hateful, very greedy and jealous. And although many of you are ready to graduate, we're going through a graduation for us spiritual beings, we're going to graduate from the lower density. So she said during this graduation, she must shake herself clean of all this negativity, and there will be a new group of students coming to Earth. And many of us have chosen to go to the new world and start the world over. Some will go back to their ships where they came from. Others will go back to other planets. And some might just be guides for others. You know, as we have guides that speak to us, we may choose just to kind of relax, hang back, and just be a guide and talk to people telepathically, like I've had the fortune of having. So, any questions? Any other questions? Yes? She wants to know if it's true about the ascension and will Earth go into a fourth or fifth density. You know, I can, your truth is there in your heart, but I'm going to tell you what they told me, and then I'm going to tell each and every one of you, if you want to know the truth, connect to the source within, for your truth belongs to you. And no matter what anyone says or no matter what you read, your truth is yours, okay? We only share what we think is our truth, okay? What they told me, and what was interesting, is I was driving one evening or afternoon with John Mack's assistant, Maria, and I was explaining the new Earth, and I was told that as an atom splits, so too will planet Earth split and become two worlds. And at the moment that I told her this, a rock dropped from a truck and hit my windshield, and I had two big overlapping round holes in my windshield. It was an expensive lesson, but it got the point across. She understood then, but it showed the two Earths splitting. I have a photograph of this. I thought it was worth photographing. But what I was told was that Earth will always be a third-dimensional planet, but there is a new Earth that will be a higher-density planet where those who have already learned their lessons and have graduated can go and start the world over with higher conscious beings. The other Earth is always there as a school for the new class of people, of beings coming in that are ready for their lessons. So it's kind of like being in school. It's kind of like we're going to graduate high school this year, or this lifetime, excuse me, this lifetime. It might be this year. Who knows? 2012 may come sooner than we think. So that's what I understand is going to happen. In a higher dimension. He asked where the new Earth, higher density Earth will be. It's going to be in a higher dimension. What we don't understand, because we're living in a third dimensional world, we have to learn to see outside the box. The new Earth is in a much higher dimension than we are now. Yes. And we just have to open our minds and to accept whatever they're willing to teach us about this. Every time I think I know it all, I find out how much more I need to learn. So I say, reach inside your hearts, connect with the source, and your answers will be there. And if you guys have any questions for me, feel free at any time to come up to my booth and ask them. And I'm going to call it quits now so we don't interfere anymore with the music that is going to be performing here. So I hope you all enjoy the evening. Thank you so much.